Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
We'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Monday, May 6, 2024. Thanks for joining me. Andy, how was your May the 4th be with you day? I know you love dressing up as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then how was your Cinco de Mayo? I know you host a absolute tequila-infused rager at your place.
Not exactly. I spent the weekend in a yurt, believe it or not.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Maybe we did this at this time last year. My sister runs a camp. It's called a grief camp, which is kind of a misleading title because, you know, most people think you sit around the whole time in grief. Actually, it's for kids who have lost a loved one. And, you know, there's some counseling. There's some fun stuff. And we kind of, you know, helped to get them on track. So I enjoyed that very much, but the weather was really crappy. So,
where is this gathering?
It's at the Bar T Camp in Frederick.
So Frederick, Maryland, not far. And are these authentic yurts? Because apparently, a yurt definition, a circular tent of felt or skins on a collapsible framework used by nomads in Mongolia, Serbia, and Turkey. Yurt.
Yeah, I think it's not skins. It's canvas.
Okay.
That covers it.
But is it a, it's a big circular tent, right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, nice.
And it has a hard floor. Okay. So it is. And I don't know whether it's really collapsible because I don't think they removed them. And I think.
Well, I think the original yurts were collapsible because they were used by nomads. So they had to pack up the yurt and go take it somewhere else on their trek.
Yeah. Yeah, this camp stands year-round, so I don't think they take the yurts down, but it is a yurt. It's called a yurt.
Okay. Cut list today includes this damn weather, Lucite shelf pretties, Derby photo finish, whacked ham sandwich, Pat Beverly grade A clown, NFL Network, no helmets, NBA playoffs, stay out of the Sharks house, and the ump show. Let's start with this damn weather. See, You're not going to like this, Andy, but I'm going to give it to you and anyone listening yet again.
God. Here we go. Mr. Arizona, fire away.
Okay, this weekend in the DMV, it was trash city weather-wise. Not just a passing shower, not just a front that came through, but 48 hours of nonstop rain and temps that did not escape the 50s. This, for the first weekend in May, is unacceptable. In this region, the good folks who live here full-time, which I don't know why anyone does, you're one of them. Well, I'm working on that. We fight our way to May, Andy. We punch our way through March and April. It's a brawl. But once we get to May, we expect to be rewarded. And what did we get this weekend? We got a grade A atmospheric rogering. You couldn't do anything outside. You couldn't plant. You couldn't garden. You couldn't string trim, mow the grass, play golf. I mean, you could, but it would suck. And so that's one precious May weekend flushed. We have the worst of all weather of any place in the country. It's not even a debate. The time is yours.
Mr. Glass half full. We're just coming off a winter of like 3 inches, and the weather people were predicting blizzards out the yin yang. So if I have to trade one weekend of bad weather, in which, by the way, I participated in quite a few outdoor activities,
well,
it's okay with me.
You were in a yurt. Like, this was actually the perfect yurt weekend. Luckily, if it had been 75 and gorgeous, you sitting in that yurt with a bunch of grieving families, you'd have been like, look, I'm sorry for your loss, but fuck, I got to get out and ride my bike.
that even Larry David would pull something like
that. I know,
that.
Right? That's exactly right. It's just tough, Andy, because this is the best month, save for the allergies. I have what I believe to be an allergy cold of some sort, where I've got it. It's like the back of my throat when I cough occasionally, once every hour or so. It's just straight fire. It's nasty. You can kind of hear it in my voice right now. Yeah. And it came on suddenly after mowing the property on Friday.
Now, isn't the rain good for people who have allergies? Isn't that helpful?
I've heard yes, I've heard no. Either way, I don't think I properly masked up. I mean, when I mow the property now, I usually wear ski goggles because they will form fit to the sides of your eyes so no dust or bugs or clippings can get up in there. And then also I wear a full-on breather as if I'm dealing with dangerous chemicals from Home Depot. And people laugh at me and I'm like, well, I learned my lesson. Now, I got sloppy where the first hour of mowing on Friday, I only had a little sort of a skin sleeve over my face that landscapers use, you know. You can breathe through it. It's like a scarf that comes up over your nose and mouth. And I had sunglasses on only thinking, well, maybe I can get away with this. Hour later, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go get my full gear on. I think that's what did it to me. So not only did the weather suck this weekend, but my my health is not good. So
you know, you need that suit that the bee guy got that when he sucked up all the bees in Arizona last week.
Yeah, how about that? By the way, I am a real expert on bee accounts on TikTok because I follow almost every one of them. Does bee removal fascinate you?
Not really, but it was a cute story.
Yeah, it was something for sure. I talked to Scott and Solly about it Friday, where you got to watch the killer bee removal guys because they're the nasty ones. They have to wear this crazy suit because they're the aggressive, sting you till you die bees that colonize.
They weren't killer bees.
No, they were not. Thank God.
Oh no. Okay.
No, they were not killer bees. Otherwise, he would have been in real trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, well, all right. Well, maybe next weekend will be better. But next weekend is Mother's Day. And no matter how nice the weather is on Mother's Day, oh, don't you plan anything with Mom.
Oh, boy. See, I think these are the allergies talking.
I guess so.
This miserable takes that you have. I think that's what's causing it.
All right. I'm sure it'll get nice soon. Topic number two, Lucite shelf pretties. So, Andy, over the weekend, my show in Wisconsin was awarded the Major Market Morning Show of the Year.
Mazel tov.
In talk and or sports.
Wow.
Now, does that include FM morning shows like the one I used to be on and left to some people's controversy, other people saying, well, yeah, it's an opportunity, you had to leave. I don't know. All I know is I have a framed, nice, Lucite pretty that says Show of the Year. Right. However, they misspelled my last name. Szabin. S-Z-A-B-A-N. And my bosses at the radio station say, don't worry, we'll get it fixed. And I said, oh, no. Do not touch it. Do not touch it. This is a badge of honor. This is yet another in a long line of my Polish last name, Szabin, being butchered and brutalized. Both in TV graphics, like on the Paul Feinbaum show, who listed me as Steed Szabin, and other such indignities. I want that thing misspelled. I need it. I'm keeping it.
This is funny because you were my first Polish partner. In the early days in Dallas, I worked with Norm Hitzges, Hitzges. And he had a full wall in his office of envelopes where his name was misspelled in the address.
No
way. Mailed him. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, it's one thing for a mailer to be misspelled. On an award with engraving, you got to be really, really careful if you're the organization handing it out. It also kind of belies the fact that, who knows how official any of these awards are? They grant you no security whatsoever in the business. People have been fired and shows have been terminated just shortly after winning these awards. And a lot of it is a big scam where you have to pay to submit your tapes to be listened to and judged. And so it's a bit of a Ponzi scheme. You remember this from back in the WTEM days.
Yeah, I have a couple of those. But yes, we lost out once to a show called The Working Girls. And it was a bunch of women who just like sat around late at night on Saturday night and kvetched, and they sent in their tape. See, they were judged by out of market radio station, so they were supposedly unbiased.
Right.
And we go, we lost to a group of women called the Working Girls. What kind of an award is this?
Isn't that a euphemism for prostitutes?
That's what I thought. You know,
the Working Girls. Well, maybe that's how they won. They plied their original trade as a working girl into winning it. So anyway, it's a silly award. I am going to proudly hold the award, leverage the award for all it's worth, nothing, and I will not let them change the spelling. So.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a great conversation starter. Hey, would you like to see my award?
It's
Is
right.
Is that your name?
It's something. You know, you can then say, mention it all the time. Well, you know, I am the morning show of the year for 2023. We'll see about next year. All right, topic number three, Derby photo finish. Wow, what a derby. Mystic Dan literally by a nose in a three-way photo finish. And the ratings for the Derby were the highest since 1989, which you can't say, well, it's because it was a photo finish. because nobody knew it was going to be a photo finish until the race went off.
Yeah. Also, record amount of money bet, which I think probably helped the ratings. It's a lot easier to bet than it ever was before. So that's probably helping the horse racing industry as well.
And I would say the weather. I'm not lying on the East Coast with the rain. No, weather. Bad weather helps. Bad weather drives people indoors toward their TV sets, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and they keep making it later and later. This used to be like a 5:30 race.
Right.
Now it's like
6:53 Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, it's late. They like to segue it into, what did they have last night, a hockey game or something like that, or basketball?
Bruins and Leafs, get to that in a second. And then there was also an NBA game with the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves stunning Denver in game one on the road. So, yeah, it was, look, this horse racing is one of those zombie sports that people have been predicting the demise of forever. And it still is alive. And at least in terms of the Derby, I mean, it's not showing any signs of slowing down at all. They just built a million-dollar paddock or multi-million-dollar paddock at Churchill Downs. I asked our friend Dick Girardi. You remember Dick, right?
I don't think so, but
we would have him on every year, Dick Girardi, to preview the Kentucky Derby and all the horse races. Come on, Andy. Philadelphia News.
Joe McKay used to bring in his barbecue and we'd schmooze about the races with him. But right.
Anyway, Dick Girardi told me they just built like a multi-million-dollar paddock. And I go, whoa. Paddock. I understand a paddock to be four wooden walls and a latch door with some hay to put the horse in to let it just chill out between races. He goes, yeah. This thing is in the round. It's got all these glass viewing areas, VIP stuff. They're charging X thousand dollars for a ticket to this paddock. They've taken it next level. And I'm like, well, that's really smart. And I'm sure that's where Tom Brady and his douchebag buddies in their suits were. Right? So that's healthy. I mean, look, I've read stories about, horse racing, it's going to be. And then, of course, there was a run of horses dying last spring. And they're like, this is it. We're going to shut down the sport. Nope. The people with money love being in the Derby. 20 horses, which was too many, according to most of the horse racing experts, because, you know, it's a big crowded field. But if you get in, you can then brag and say, look, I owned a horse that made the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, you get stud fees off of that. The other thing, have you heard about the Pimlico situation?
No. What's up with Pimlico?
Pimlico, like, was built in the 1870s. It's basically fallen apart.
Pimlico is the race track that hosts the Preakness, which is the second of the third leg of the Triple Crown, and it happens in early June.
Right, it's 2 weeks after the Derby. I think that's so. It's actually still in May. It's
it is Belmont. Okay. Belmont's in June. Early June. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so Belmont's 3 weeks after the Preakness. So anyway, they don't really have much racing at Pimlico. And it's only really used once a year. So they go, okay, we're probably just going to shut this down and we'll move everything to Laurel and it'll be fine. Well, nope. People in Baltimore got up in arms and got lobbying. And so there's like $400 million coming in from the state for basically one day a year.
So they're spending money to prop up Pimlico for one race a year?
Basically, yeah.
Oh, that's, my God.
It's a $400. You should be able to build a stadium for that. $400 million to fix up a stinking racetrack.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How many derbies have you been to?
I have been to 2 Kentucky Derbies, and I've been to 3 Preaknesses. I've never been to a Belmont.
And what did you think of covering them?
The first one I went to, I'll never forget this. This was 1985. And when you cover a derby, I was working for UPI. You have to get down to the stalls and early in the morning. You talk to the trainers, you talk to the jockeys, and you know, this one can run. So I see this horse and, you know, I'm such a newbie. I look at the horse. I go, boy, that's a really good looking horse.
Yeah, look at that horse.
Yeah. I'm going to bet this horse gets to be close to race time. And I don't bet the horse. I bet the favorite because I'm just stupid. And of course the favorite doesn't win. This horse wins. It's Spendabuck. And I think time, it was like the second fastest Derby time ever to like Secretariat. And it would have won me about $100 or something, which at that time was a lot of money to me. And I went, oh, what an idiot I am. Anyway, Spendabuck, and this really changed racing. got more money to run in some kind of Jersey Derby instead of the Preakness.
Right.
And that's when they came up the multi-million dollar bonus for winning the whole Triple Crown and everything. But that was my introduction basically to Triple Crown racing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Barbaro breaking a leg, eventually having to be put down, didn't kill the sport. Doping scandals, cheating scandals, didn't kill the sport. Pimlico being on its last legs, didn't kill the sport. It's still around, baby. And I like it. As a tradition, I do like it. I do like watching it. And I like holding on to something that is an ancient kind of a sport. Even though, as a sport, you know, sport of kings, it's gambling. Like, if you couldn't gamble on horse racing, it wouldn't exist. If you couldn't gamble on the NBA, you'd still watch a game. Or the NFL. Right.
Exactly. That's the part of it. But it is also well televised. They do a great job of televising the Triple Crown series.
Oh, yeah. Well, now they have either drones or wire cams that will follow the horses from just above them, just behind the leaders, where you can actually see the numbers and see what silk colors there are to be able to follow who's who. Mm-hmm. It's really good stuff. And I love the lovely gal who does lady. Middle-aged woman who does the post-race interview on horseback in her sharp red coat. Yeah, so good. So good.
I think it was Charles C. Canty who used to do that. I don't know the name of the woman now. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, good stuff. And now I can ignore horse racing for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Unless
Dan. Captain Dan. What's his name?
Captain Dan. Mystic Dan.
Mystic Dan, right?
Mystic, yeah, unless Mystic Dan goes for the Triple Crown, I can ignore horse racing for the most part. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Mm-hmm. Topic number four, whacked ham sandwich. Darvin Ham is out as coach of the Lakers, despite the fact that when he took over last year, he took him to, the Western Conference Finals against the Denver Nuggets. Pretty darn good for a team that prior to Ham, they missed the playoffs entirely. But apparently LeBron and Antonio Davis do not like Darvin Ham. So like a bad high school lunchroom table bit of drama, they end up running him out of town. I had forgotten just how many coaches LeBron James has had in his career. And when you compare that to guys like Kobe and like Jordan, it's a pretty damning indictment of him as an argument of the greatest of all time.
Right. And here's another thing I heard Tim Legler say the other day. He said the problem that the Lakers have is it's not that they're not capable of getting to the Western Conference Finals. The problem is they treat the regular season like dirt. They don't care about it at all. So they slip into the playoffs as a seventh seed and they wind up playing Denver in the first round. They're good enough to get to Denver, he thinks, and maybe give them a series and a break here and there. They might win. But they don't get there because they have to face him in the first round. And that's an indictment on LeBron as a player, because Jordan treated every game like it mattered. Like it was he played hard every night. So I can't put him in the same conversation with him. Right. I can't.
Meanwhile, I cannot believe this, but Mike Wilbon, normally the nicest, softest gloved touch of criticism on PTI, brought out the damn sledgehammer. Take a listen to this.
On Darvin Ham. I don't want to hear from anybody in a Laker uniform that the primary problem was Darvin Ham. Yes, LeBron and Anthony Davis were great in that series, but they weren't good enough against Denver. So take that on. GOAT carries responsibility. I don't see it in the firing of Darvin Ham. So go handpick somebody. They're not getting T. Lou. If you're the owner of the Clippers and you got way more money than the Lakers and just as much ego, you ain't letting T. Lou walk across when you got a new stadium and you got stars.
Sorry for somebody who decided to mix this to their own little background music. Here's a tip, content recreators on social media. Go light on whatever music. Better yet, don't use music. But if you're going to use music, go lighter on it. I listened to Wilbon's rant. And he is spot on about everything. And he was actually angry about it. Good for Mayor McCheese digging into a star for once.
And Mike, I agree with what Mike said, and I like Mike a lot. But remember, he's a charter member of the Jordan Club. So remember that.
You don't think he was doing Jordan's bidding, do you? What do you think Jordan thinks about LeBron right now?
I don't think he thinks he stinks. I don't think if this were like The Last Dance and they showed him some video of LeBron saying he's the best, he'd say, LeBron. I don't think that would happen.
How much NBA do you think Michael Jordan watches right now?
I think he watches quite a bit of it. I think he does.
Are you not amazed, kind of impressed, appreciate the fact that Jordan has taken himself out of the mix, not on social media, rarely does interviews of any kind. Like, he is the biggest sports icon who has chosen to just go live his life post-career.
Yeah, and he's made some incredibly smart business decisions, starting with his deal with Nike.
Oh, I know. I know that. I just, like, as I sit here and think about it, I'm like, this is one of the many reasons why I'll always be an MJ guy over even Kobe and way over LeBron James. I love this guy. He's like, yeah, I don't need to fucking tell anybody what I think about this guy, that guy, or the other. I don't need to play around childish games on social media. I'm Michael Jordan. I'm playing golf. I'm smoking cigars. I'm remarried to this Cuban-American hottie, this 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. And I make $3.6 million a day sitting on my couch. Did you know that, by the way?
Yeah, I know. The Nike. Here's something else. You have two billionaire great players in the discussion, top five, top three, whatever you want. Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. Magic has made his billion a lot on the force of his personality.
Right.
Jordan didn't really need to do that. He made just really good business decisions. And he has, you know, played his cards right. So it's two ways to get there, but both of them use their assets as great players to do that.
Right. Well, anyway, here's your list. Paul Silas, Brendan Malone, Mike Brown, Eric Spoelstra, who, according to one report I read this weekend, LeBron wanted him fired.
Of course. And LeBron's the GM. He's the coach. He's the team. It's always that way.
Right. And Pat Riley's like, yeah, no, not doing that. David Blatt. Oh, I remember the David Blatt era in Cleveland. Ty Lue, of course, who they won the title with over Golden State, coming back from 3-1 down. Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham, and now mystery meat to follow. That's a lot of coaches for a guy who claims to be the greatest of all time.
Right. Well, Jordan picked his own coach, too, when he made his comeback with Washington.
With the Wizards, but, yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, topic five, Pat Beverly, grade A clown. So right. I saw your tweet about this, how after their loss to Indiana, not only did he get into a ball-throwing, childish spat with a fan behind the bench for the Bucks, which he said was a misunderstanding. They were just playing around. Okay. He then chastised a longtime ESPN producer, I believe, who was gathering sound for the four-letter, a woman who's got a very good reputation, and he basically froze her out saying, well, do you subscribe to my podcast? And she said no. And then he's like, well, then you need to get out of the circle, because he didn't like the tone, angle, or the nature of her questions. What a stooge this guy is. And when I said on my Milwaukee show, which, by the way, is the show of the year, and he's just saying I've got the Blue Side Award misspelled to prove it, I said, well, okay, they should get rid of the Pats, meaning Pat Connaughton and Pat Beverly. There was a lot of fans who were like, no, bring Beverly back. And I'm like, why? Why would you want this guy? This guy is a nobody. He's a zilch. What does he do other than agitate, do cheap fouls, and hype his fucking podcast? So you said two things. One is she'll have a job next year. He won't.
Right. I think. But here's something else. There was a report, I think it was from Front Office Sports, that he was being banned from ESPN.
Yes. ESPN, all ESPN interviews.
Right, and ESPN denied that, and ESPN is still something of a news service, so I don't think that they would actually do that. They might say, we're not going to pay him to be on shows, but why would you not cover him? I mean, this is part of the story, what a jerk he is, what an imbecile he is, right. What an ingrate he is, but I don't think if you're a news network, you say, we're not going to cover him. I don't know where they got that information.
Yeah. Doug Gottlieb tweeted out a clip of Nick Wright just going to town, carving up the whole concept of Pat Beverly, and he brought receipts and details. Here's a quick one-minute snip of it.
Michelle Roberts in front of your colleagues, and they had to talk you down from it. You ended the bubble by being a key part of the biggest gag job in the last 30 years in the NBA. What did you do the next season? The next year? Ty Lue's big adjustment, the one time the Clippers are going on a playoff run. You remember what it was? Sitting your ass on the bench. That's what turned that playoff run around. How did that playoff run end? Oh, yeah. With Chris Paul having the best game of his life on you and you dealing with it by shoving a man in the back when he wasn't looking and then going on TV and calling a legend of the game a cone. What then happened after that? 2022, you won your championship. Unfortunately, it was a play-in game, and you celebrated like it was. And then 2023 to 2024, you have been on the Jazz, the Lakers, the Magic, the Bulls, the Sixers, and the Bucks, and not a single one of them wanted to keep you around. And you ended that tenure by throwing a basketball at a woman's head, getting it back, throwing it at another fan, and then yelling at another woman in the locker room because she doesn't listen to your terrible podcast. So, if this was your last moment in the league, good riddance. Won't be missed. Won't be memorable.
Wow.
That's wow. Well done. That is a great lesson to anybody who does a rant. He came with facts, and he was prepared. That's how you do it. You don't just get on there and scream your head off.
Right.
That was really well done.
Well, and it was only half of the 3 minutes. And yeah. When he listed all the teams he had been on the last 3 years ago, is that right? And sure enough, as I look it up, he has been passed around like one bad idea to another team, to another team, to another team. And he's 35 years old. The argument for keeping him is, well, you know, the Bucks do need some point guard depth, and he only costs $2.1 million. If the only reason to keep him is he's cheap, maybe think again. Just exactly. My thoughts. NFL Network has let go Michael Irvin, and it's part of what they say are just further staff adjustments to remain healthy and competitive and strong financially. This, they've gutted the NFL Network, and yeah. It's now owned by the league. And for an industry and a sport and a league that is just seeing a rocket ship of straight upward increasing revenues, what are they doing, Andy?
I think it's not run by very smart people. And the latest I've heard is that it's going to be absorbed by ESPN.
Right? They're going to just flip it to ESPN and go, ah, this is too much bother for us. The league is soaking in money. It's a network that promotes their league. You're telling me you couldn't afford another line item to keep Good Morning Football in New York?
I'm telling you, and this hits close to home for both of us. We worked for a radio station that was owned by an NFL team, or the owner of an NFL team.
I know.
And
they were cheap as fuck.
And he didn't run his NFL team very well, but his radio station, I mean, you know, it was a joke. The people that he employed to run it were stupid. We had good talent there.
Yeah.
And they couldn't hire they had a good radio person, and he left, and they didn't replace him with anybody good.
It's uniquely depressing being in the media industry, thinking, you know, hey, here's a lot of talented people putting out good work for the most popular league and sport in our country, arguably in the world, and they're still cutting in the face of record increasing revenues, record ratings. What is going on? And the answer is they're just cheap and indifferent. These billionaire owners are sometimes I wouldn't say dumb, but they are ruthlessly cheap on some things. It's amazing to me.
They dumped our friend Andrew Siciliano, who is as solid a pro as there is in this business, and he wasn't making Stephen A. Smith money.
No.
I mean, what was the thought there?
I know. You probably didn't watch much of the Leafs and the Bruins. Overtime, Bruins win, avoiding a second straight year of a 3-1 lead blown to exit the playoffs. Toronto, once again, can't get out of the first round. They have been one of the most star-struck original six franchises in the NHL. And I don't think you probably watched much of it, if any.
When you say watched much, that would be zero.
If they were playing on a fresh Zamboni sheet of ice outside your back window and you were washing your dishes, you would still close the curtains.
I like game sevens, but I was in a yurt. I didn't have access to watch the game.
You wouldn't watch it anyway. It was a really good game. It was a 0-0 game, though, until 10 minutes left in the third. So you had to be a real hockey fanatic to appreciate a scoreless game. But then it got very interesting after that, and then it ended in overtime, mercifully short. The reason I bring it up is the last time the Bruins and Maple Leafs met in a game seven was 1959, okay?
Wow.
And they had photos of it. Of course, they were in black and white. And the thing that stands out immediately is none of the skaters have helmets on at all. Not just no helmet plus face mask or shield. They hadn't invented that. No helmets at all. But guess who else didn't have helmets? The goalies!
I know. Yeah, face mask. No, they didn't wear face masks either.
Right! So the goalies would willingly stand in there and be like, well, if I get hit by a puck in the face, I hope we got a good health plan. There's no health plan. Okay, well, I hope I don't lose an eye.
Yeah.
It's insane. Now, they didn't shoot as fast as they do now, and they didn't shoot as high as they do now.
Right.
But they had the ability to create a face mask in 1959. They just chose not to.
I think
that was?
I think Terry, they're tough guys. That's the way they play. But Terry Sawchuk, I think, was the first to have the mask. But I remember this. I remember going to a Capitals-Bruins game when I was in high school. So it's the mid-70s. And the Capitals may have had a few guys wearing helmets. There's only one Bruin wearing a helmet. And you can look this up. His name was Ted Green. And he had been in such a fight, collision, whatever it was, that they had to pick pieces of his skull out of his brain. And he came back to play, and the reason he was wearing a helmet was because of that injury. So that was a different era.
I mean, today, not wearing a helmet as a goalie is akin to a death wish. I know it's illegal, Andy, but I'm saying the game has advanced and evolved. I know you don't like to admit this readily, but the athletes are so strong, so fast, they shoot so much harder. Equipment's better and everything else. You'd be better off walking into a firefight in Fallujah without any helmet on than you would into a hockey game. It's nuts. But anyway.
Yeah, I know.
All right. We have one game seven so far. That's it. Actually, two. I'm sorry. There was one today, wasn't there?
Yes,
with the Cavaliers?
Cleveland won, yes.
Yeah, okay. That series I had honestly zero interest in.
So. Me too.
All right. All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure. Better weather is ahead, or so I've been led to believe by the authorities. And good for you for doing something good, doing a mitzvah, as you like
a
to
mitzvah.
Say.
Yes. It was a mitzvah.
Do you know my dad used the word kreplach accurately?
I texted you that.
He said, oh, Stephen, I went to go visit him at his place, and I'm like, he's like, oh, Stephen, over here on the counter, I got some kreplach. I go, what? You know, some kreplach. It was a bag of snacks, basically, a bag of nuts and chips, and he called it kreplach, but real kreplach is dumplings filled with meat.
Yeah, they're like Chinese dumplings. My grandmother used to make wonderful kreplach, and you put it in the soup. Oh, it was delicious.
Right. But as a slang, though, I think that was probably a good use of it, right? If you had a bag of snacks to call it kreplach. No? Slang!
Not that I've ever heard. No, kreplach. Kreplach. Make sure you got the that's the soup dumplings.
Oh, I got
Jewish
the
soup dumplings.
Yeah, because of the allergy cold I've got. Oh, I've got the I got all you want, my friend.
Mazel tov.
Right. Mazel. All right, Andy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Isaac, take care.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.